All right, you can be seated today. Everybody stand up today. We have been talking, and we're going to finish up today on fresh air, and we've been talking about getting out of the doldrums and what the doldrums were. We talked about this verse, and Paul lists about a friend that came to visit him, and his last line says, his visits revived me like a breath of, everybody say it?
Fresh air.
We've been talking about fresh air. And today's message is going to be as the wind blows. Everybody say, as the wind blows.
As the wind blows.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for being the great teacher. Beyond everything else, would you teach us, Lord? Beyond what anybody says or doesn't say, would you just multiply, divide, do whatever you need to do, Lord, to feed us today. We ask you for truth. Lord, we just come against error in our minds, our hearts. We want to be faithful to your word and faithful to you, Lord. Let it be truth. And that's what will set us free. We love you with all our hearts. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Turn around and get somebody a good high five this morning. Wake up a little bit. That'll help you. Many of you may not know that this is not the first church that I pastored in Baton Rouge. I used to be a pastor of a Baptist church in Baton Rouge. And I did that for a number of years. And I was not comfortable with a spirit-filled church. In my church where I grew up, we were more comfortable with two-thirds of God than all three-thirds. And by that I mean I was very comfortable with God the Father. I knew what a father was. I had a father that was a very good father, and so my father image was not distorted in any way, shape, or form. My dad was a very good dad to me and very loving, very caring. In fact, he used to take us in the bedroom, and when Mom would tell him to whip us, he would hit the bed, tell us to scream. Come on, somebody. That was just a great time. And then we were very comfortable with Jesus the Son. I knew a father. I knew a son. And so in my Baptist church, in my denominational church, I was very comfortable with two-thirds of God. But when it came to the Holy Ghost, that's where I had a little bit of problem. Mostly what I knew about a ghost came from Casper, the friendly ghost. And in that, on Halloween, you had all these horrible ghosts. So to talk about a ghost, I was okay with the father and I was okay with the son. But a ghost, I had a little bit of problem, coming to terms with that. And when I began to study the Bible as a pastor, I remember that I met a friend of mine who ran a drugstore, and he began to talk to me about the Holy Spirit. And the more he would talk, the more uncomfortable I would get. In fact, we used to debate, and many of you may know this, but when I was, and maybe may not, but I used to pastor a Baptist church in town. I used to come over here to this church, which was pastored by a fellow by the name of Randy Bonacarso at the beginning. And I used to come and get people out of this church and make them deny all the junk that I felt they were teaching at this church. And I would come, I would get them, I would take the Bible study with them, show them that, that the ghost stuff was for way back yonder, not for now, and deal with the Father and the Son, because the Spirit, Jesus said he'll not speak of himself, and so don't talk about the Holy Spirit ever, and he'll never do that, so why are you doing da-da-da? And I did on and on. And I remember the day the pastor here called me and said, leave my people alone. Come on, somebody. And I was doing it in a good intention in my heart. So today, one of our foundational scriptures in this series has also been Deuteronomy. The day I call the heavens and earth and witness against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life. Everybody say choose life.
Choose life.
The thing that confounded me was I used to go to my church and they loved God, but it was like there was no life to it. And then I would come over here and literally I don't know how to describe it other than I just felt something different. And I would leave out of here and I would say, I just feel there's something different. And today I want to talk to you about the source of fresh air. Because if you do everything else we've talked about in the study of fresh air and you miss this one, it really will not work totally in your life. That's called the source of fresh air, and that is as the wind blows. That's what we're calling it today. And the question I come back to, where's this disconnect? Why was there such a problem with my church where I grew up in my denominational church and in those that believed in the Holy Spirit and those that believed in the workings of the Holy Spirit, if I could say it that way? Because when you read the New Testament, there's a whole book that is dedicated to the workings of the Holy Spirit. We call it the Book of Acts. And many, many wrongly call it the Acts of the Apostles. It was not the Acts of the Apostle. It was literally the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It was the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And so a whole book was dedicated to the early church and all that the Holy Spirit did through them. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. They walked by the Spirit. They listened by the Spirit. They lived by the Spirit. The Spirit would speak to them. The Spirit would direct them. That didn't happen in my denominational church. You didn't do that. You never had gifts operating. You never had that going on. And so what's wrong with so many people is I believe that it has to do with really one reason is how the word is translated. And I covered this, but I want to recover it because the word spirit is translated spirit or ghost 800 times in the New and Old Testament. And the word is, there's two words, and we'll use the Hebrew word and the Greek word. The Hebrew word is a word, ruach. And you have to act like you got a piece of popcorn in the back of your throat when you say, you know, it's ruach, you know, you're going to throw it out. And it means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of air. And so the word spirit, you know, the translators had a hard time because that was the definition. A wind, breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of air. And the translators had a hard time picking one English word to translate that concept into the English language. Because, you know, the Bible did not take place in England. Let me understand that fact. It was translated either from the Hebrew or from the Greek. And so they came up with, the best they could come up with was the word spirit. That's what the word is used. Many times it's used the word ghost at other times. But it's really a wind. It has nothing to do with a ghost. Has nothing to do with that concept, but it has to do with the wind. Has to do with the breath of God coming on. It has to do with that. In Genesis 1, it literally says in verse 2. We got that one, Genesis 1 and 2. Yeah. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Everybody say the Spirit of God. Literally it's the word ruach, and it literally means the wind. The breath of God was hovering over the waters. The breath of God was breathing. It means this. When God said, let there be light, it wasn't like God just stood there and said in this dramatic voice, let there be light. It literally means God breathed, and there was light. God breathed, and there were trees. God breathed. It was the wind of God hovering. It was the breath, the exhalation. It was God breathing on this world. And all those things came into being as God breathed them. The power is in the breath itself. Literally, out of his mouth came trees and birds and people and on and on. He breathed out it. And the New Testament, the word for spirit or ghost is the word pneuma. It's P-N-E, P is silent, pneuma. It's pneuma. It means literally a current of air, blast of breath, a strong breeze. And the translators, again, had to deal with translating that concept by one word. And they used the word spirit again in the New Testament. But the idea is, it's not just some ghost or some spirit as we think of it. It means a current of air, a breath, a blast of breath, a strong breeze when you read the word pneuma or the word spirit. And the best word they could come up with, use is the word wind at times. And the understanding is very important because John 6 and 6, verse 63, he said it this way. The spirit, the wind, the breath, the blast of air, the current of air, the breath of God gives life. Everybody say the breath of God gives life. Would you say that? The breath of God gives life. Now get that because that makes sense. If you're stuck in the doldrums and you feel like you're dead in the water, what you need to bring fresh breath to you is the ruach, the pneuma of God. The blast of fresh air, the breath of God to breathe on you, to bring a new fresh life to you. And it makes more sense. Now listen to what Jesus said, verse 63. He says, the spirit, the pneuma, the breath of God gives life. The flesh counts for what? The flesh, well, you can't row your boat. You're not going to get out of the doldrums doing it on your own. You're not going to get out of the shape you're in. Your marriage is not going to get better. Your situation is not going to get better. When you try to do everything on your own strength, you need the breath of God. It's the breath that gives life. It's the fresh current of God that gives life. That does. The flesh will absolutely do nothing for you. Jesus said, and in verse 63, it makes more sense. The words that I have spoken, the Bible you hold in your hand, I've spoken to you, they are full of the what? They are full of the breath of God and of life. Listen, the Bible you hold in your hand, the Bible you're reading with us every day, it's not just some ideas and concepts, Jesus said, good way to live. Jesus said, they literally are full of the breath of God within them. The words that I've spoken to you, he said, the Bible, which I gave you, it's full of the Ruach, it's full of the pneuma of God. It's the breath of God, and the words themselves contain wind and breath. I'm going to tell you something. I've been known to amen myself sometimes. Come on, somebody. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, he said, I'm the first and the last. Nobody said nothing. He said, amen. Come on, somebody. You just amen yourself sometimes because that is what the Word of God will do in your life. It's the pneuma. It's the breath of the living God. Now, if I had to describe, the same way it's hard to describe the wind of God to someone who's never experienced the wind. Because trying to describe to you, and I knew this because when I tried to understand the Holy Spirit, when I was in a denominational church, I could not grasp it. I'd ask them, I went and studied tapes, and I read the Bible, but I could not grasp the concept of the Holy Spirit. Let me just explain it to you. It'd be like you trying to explain wind to somebody that had never experienced wind. And how would you explain wind to somebody that's been maybe lived inside a tunnel all their life? They've never felt the wind on their face. They've never seen the effects of the wind, you know, so how do you explain wind? And so I thought about doing that. How would I explain wind to somebody who had never seen it? And let me just give you, if I had to describe wind, I'd use three characteristics, and here's the first one. Number one is the wind is unseen. I would tell them, number one is, wind is unseen. You can't see it. You can see its effects. You can see if they put, you know, some kind of color in the air. You can see that. But wind, you cannot see wind. It's unseen. You can't see it. You can see the effects. In the same way, the Holy Spirit cannot be seen. That's a problem for some people because we've got to set as a filter of everything we receive from God. It has to be something that we get, that we understand. Oh, I get that. I understand that. And if you set as a filter for only believing the things you can absolutely understand, I know I'm on dangerous ground here, but listen to this. If you set as a filter only the things you can fully understand, then your God will only be as big as your brain is. Can't get a better amen in this sophisticated age we live in. The truth is, that bugs a lot of people. I understand and I can see. Listen, the truth is, and this bugs a lot of people, and I make no apology for this, God never intended for it to logically go through your eyes and your minds always. He always intended for you to experience Him. Can I go as far to even say, feel Him? Because He didn't make it an intellectual thing that we're just a bunch of intellectuals together and we all believe the same intellectual things. He is living. He's real. He wants to be a part of us. Not just in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty now and now. Come on, somebody. He wants to be a part of our lives right now. And so the Bible, so one of the keys is you have to understand the wind is unseen. He always intended for you to experience Him. There's nothing like the manifest presence of God. Listen, first time you ever feel the manifested presence of God, you'll never be satisfied with all the show stuff. You feel the presence of God when you get in His presence. I'm going to tell you, wind is unseen. You don't need cool lights and a PowerPoint presentation. You need 1 second of the presence of God. Listen, who wants to sit on a porch with no wind all day long? You ever been on a porch and suddenly the wind starts blowing? You say, thank you, God, for the wind. How do you want to regulate your spiritual life to sitting on some spiritual porch for the rest of your life and the wind never blowing across? Come on, somebody. If He did it then, I want Him to do it now. If He was alive then, I want God to be alive now. I don't want to just meet Him in reality in the next life. I want to see Him work in my life right now. Come on, somebody. He's going to do that in your life. Just ask Him. No, I wanted to experience some now, right now. He's unseen. I like this because, let me show you this verse. This is the Doubting Thomas passage. And, you know, I won't believe until I see. I won't believe until I can I won't believe until I can, watch what it says here. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have done what? Not seen me and believed. There are some things you will not see. If you want the best of God, this is a part of His nature that He's unseen. Number two, wind is unpredictable. Not only is wind unseen, if I had to describe to you wind, and I'm doing this in analogy with the Holy Spirit, I would tell you that wind is unpredictable. We flew back in from Orlando yesterday, and every airport we land at, and I've done this across the world, you'll see this orangey coney kind of thing out there on the strips. And what it did is, it's a thing that blows with the wind. And it tells the tower which way the wind is blowing. Because the wind can be blowing from east to west one day, and be blowing the next day from west to east. And so the traffic controllers in these airports, they land the planes differently. They tell them, you know, the wind's blowing such and such direction, so you're going to need to, readjust for this and that, because every day the wind is unpredictable. The weathermen can try to guess at it, but many times it's unpredictable. And listen, the God you serve is unpredictable. That messes with some of you. Now, let me tell you how that works. One of the things the pastor before me drilled into our heads, Randy Bonacarsa, was you cannot put God in a box. Put Him in a box, He'll bust out of it every time. Put Him in a box, you got the key to every answer, put Him in the box. Next time you try that key, it does not work. You know why? Because if you did that, you start trusting in the system and not in the living God Himself. So He'll pull the rug out from under you when you begin to rely on the system. Oh, depend on a dependable God, depend on a God of order, absolutely. But when you get to that point where you start depending on the system, God pulls the rug out from under you. And then you begin to understand. Listen, we watch Shamu. Many of you have seen Shamu. They can train whales. Anybody can train. Our God is not a circus lion. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's a wild lion. He's not trained to jump through our hoops and all that. He'll do what He wants to do when He wants to do it. Because He's unpredictable. Wind is unpredictable. You don't know. You go out and try to do this and that, and the wind is taken up this way or that way. John 3, check this verse out. Jesus says, verse 3, says, the wind, and this is, guess what the word wind is there? It's the word pneuma. The one time in the entire New Testament that the translators translated that strong breeze, wind, breath, all that, they translated as wind because it made sense. The wind blows wherever it pleases. Is that right? That means it's unpredictable. That means he and Nicodemus were probably sitting there at night and the candles were burning. And Nicodemus came at night, and probably the wind was flickering the candles one way. And Jesus looks at him and says, now, Nicodemus, let me teach you something about the Spirit of God. See how these candles, see how the wind's blowing, it's blowing that way right now. And then in just maybe a minute, it starts blowing the other way. It's unseen, you can't see it, you just see the effects it has. But also, it's unpredictable, you know, where the wind. And so Jesus brings that point up, and He links it to the Spirit. He said, the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sounds, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. Is that right? It's unpredictable. So is everyone who is born of the pneuma, the same word, the breath of God, the Spirit of God. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. There is an unpredictableness to the wind. So what Jesus is saying is, you're going to have to come to get comfortable with the fact that you cannot pin Him down to a certain way of doing things all the time. He's unpredictable. Because you know why? I'll say it again. You will literally end up getting in a system. The Bible says, when God brought snakes among them, He told Moses, put a serpent on a bronze serpent on a pole. Hold it up. Everybody that looks at it will be healed. Guess what they did? The Bible says for centuries they kept that bronze serpent, and when anybody got sick, that's what they used, because that's how God heals. If you don't have a bronze serpent in your church, you're not going to get healed. Come on, somebody. One time he spoke to a man in a burning bush. Had he been today, we'd have the church of the burning bush. You can't really know God until you have a burning bush experience. We did it one day. He's unpredictable. You can't put Him in a box. You can't say, this is how He's going to work. This is how He's going to... One time, if you read it real carefully, there was a guy that brought a visitor to church. And it was in Jesus' meeting, and the guy was sick. And he tells Jesus, Jesus, lay your hands on him and heal him. He's blind. And so the guy's waiting, and all of a sudden, Jesus, you're into the hand thing. You think it's the hand that causes everything to work. And the Bible says Jesus reached down, spit in mud, made a mud pie, and slapped it on his eye. You know why I think so? I think they were starting to trust in the system and not in Jesus. Come on, somebody. I bet that guy said, oh, no, Jesus, I brought him to church. I got him to church. Now you're going to do this. Don't mess things up. I'm preaching better than you're acting like. He's unpredictable. All right, then the third one, last one. Wind is powerful. If anybody knows that, it's South Louisiana. Wind is powerful. Generate electricity. It can drive the largest ship, and it can destroy a city. We have been, all of us have been through hurricanes. All of us have seen the absolute power that wind can have. It boggles my mind how strong it can be. And I'm going to tell you something. I really have no interest in serving a powerless God. I want to serve a powerful God. And the Holy Spirit is power. The Holy Spirit, listen, He has the power to change your life. I believe with all my heart that He still wants to work in us the same way He worked in the early church. I don't believe He loved them more than He loved us. I don't believe He's got a different agenda then than He's got right now. You've got to come to the place where you are comfortable with the power and the unpredictableness and the unseenness of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says over and over, an intellectual gospel is always in danger of creating a God that looks like you. Did you get that? An intellectual gospel is always, always in danger of creating a God the same size as you are. If you've got to be able to understand everything God does, then your God will be the size of your brain. Can I get a better amen? One of the most intelligent men we ever had in our church was Yeno Hagemacher. Yeno Hagemacher was a physicist. Most of you don't even know what a physicist is, but it's a very smart man. Let me just say that. It's a very smart man. And Yeno had grown up in Switzerland. He'd been educated through Europe and European schools, and he was a physicist. He worked around the world. And he, one time we had him teach on Einstein's relativity, and the theory of relativity. And he taught on it, and it was a blast listening to him. But he, when he first started, he was a denominational guy. And he was with Brother Eccles, which is an older gentleman that the pastor that started this church came out of. And Brother Eccles used to talk to Yeno, and Yeno's wife, Shang Wan, had really become intimate with the Holy Spirit and flowed in the Holy Spirit, and God went and just was comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Yeno was not. Yeno was a you ought to see it in his culture, the wife walked two or three steps behind him. Chin up in the air, goatee. He was Swiss looking and intelligent beyond compare. And God began to trouble his heart with this Holy Spirit. And he had the hardest, he could not get it. And Brother Eccles used to talk to him until he was blue in the face. And there was so much trouble. And he said, Brother Eccles told me one day, finally, he just said, I told him, throw all that out. And so what happened was, you know, he was walking through his house one day. And he hears his wife, Shang Wan, praying in the spirit in her bedroom in another language that he knows Shang Wan does not know. And it is Hungarian. He was really Hungarian by birth. And he heard his wife praying in Hungarian. How many know that'll get your attention real fast? That's not natural. That's scary, supernatural. And he's walking by, and listen, that's not the best part. He's walking by, and all of a sudden, she's praying for him. And he listens, and she's praying for him to open up to the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, she calls his name, but instead of calling his name, you know, she calls his name a pet name that his mama used to call him when he was a little boy, and he had never told anybody what his mama had called him. Wow. How many know that'll get to you? Put goosebumps on you, goosebumps. So it broke him. He said, you know what? I may not ever understand this intellectually, but I'm not going to limit God to my intellect. If I limit God to my intellect, then that's as big as God can be. I'll guarantee you when we get to heaven, you'll see things that'll blow your mind. Colonel, good or better, amen. All right. Now, let me go this. I'll tell this story. Acts chapter 1, I want you to notice this because Jesus is trying to give the disciples this power, this intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. And he said, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with what? The Holy Spirit. Now notice this. These guys were saved. They were washed. They believed in Jesus and all and all. But they had never had an experience with the Holy Spirit. They never had an experience with the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to have an experience you've never had before. You're going to have an intimate experience with the Holy Spirit. And notice how they do. So when they met together, they got together and they've been talking things about. And instead of saying, you know, that's what they want now to get back on the intellectual level. We want to understand something. You're talking about something we don't really grasp. We want to get back on the intellectual level. They said, will you, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Watch this. And he said to them, it's not for you to know. And that bugs some of you. Because you want to know everything. Before you'll trust God, you want to know everything. Before you're willing to really trust God, you want... And he looked at them and he says, it's not for you to know the seasons and the times that the Father the Father has set by his own authority. But he said, come back here. Get back to the top. Get back to where I want to get you back to, guys. Get off the intellectual level. I want you to have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. He says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. I just think that's funny. Every once in a while I read the Bible. I like it. I always said if I made a movie, the Three Stooges would be Peter, James, and John. That's who I would use in them. Everybody say it's not for you to know. And I would say very respectfully, it's not always for you to know. I know you want to know. Before I get 1,000 tweets, absolutely I believe in studying the Bible. Do it all the time. But there are things I understand that I cannot understand. I trust him. When I cannot trace him, I trust him. Psalm says that his steps are in the sea. And I've learned at times I cannot trace his steps, but I trust him. I learned this. I cannot know everything about God. He's not going to be brought down to my level that I have everything intellectually figured out and then I'll accept it. That's dictating to God how he'll do it, when he'll do it, and what he'll do. You got to come say, God, I'm yours. What you want, how you want it, do whatever you want in me, lock, stock, and barrel. Can I get a better amen? You won't always know. And if that becomes a litmus test and the filter for everything you accept in life, then your God will be the size of your brain. And that's why you are where you are, stuck in the doldrums, because you're not letting the breath of God flow through your life. Romans 8 says it this way. Here's my hope for you. Romans 8 says, the Spirit, the breath, the pneuma of God, who raised up Jesus from the dead, does what? Lives in you. And just as, everybody say just as. Just as the pneuma, the breath, the blast of air, the exhalation, just as that blast of air raised Christ from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit wind living within you. He wants to do the same thing in you. The same amount of wind, the same breath, the same Spirit that got a hold of Jesus and brought him out of that grave, that doldrums he was in, will get in the doldrums wherever you are and blast you out of there. Come on, somebody. Everybody say amen. He's the only source of fresh air because he's the pneuma. Now, let me give you an ending this morning, a few tips on how to go about to do this. Let me just give you. Number one is this. Let go of fear and misperceptions. Let go of your fears and your misperceptions. I was so scared of it. I remember I used to take a buffalo nickel. I had an old buffalo nickel. I used to put it in my room and I said, God, if this is real, turn it upside down in the morning. It was never turned upside down. It was always a buffalo staring at me in the morning. I had so many fears. I thought if I really get into this, I'll end up in a mud hut in Africa somewhere. I know he'll do that. He'll just take me. Listen, let go of all your fears and your misperceptions. You may have grown up and heard about it or not heard about it, or whatever the Lord wants to do in your life. I just began to seek God. I did. And so listen, Psalms 34 and 4 says it this way. It says, I sought the Lord. Could I tell you anything in life is, would you throw away everything and just begin to read the Bible? I remember the first time I went, and I was a member of a denominational church, and I remember this pharmacist told me about the relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I went and told my pastor, in my mind, I still see his hands coming up and slamming his desk and telling me every time somebody gets saved, the devil tries to get him in all that kind of junk. That's when I began to pastor a church and take everybody out of here. I just believed him. Let go of the fear and just seek the Lord. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he'll answer you and he will deliver you from what? He'll deliver you from all of your fear. Let go of the packaging. Let go of that. Number two is this. Go all in. You're not going to make it if you say, I think I'll try this thing. What that is, if you don't go all in. We have an old song we sing. I surrender what? God's not into, okay, God, I'll let you in my life, but here's what I'll tell you can do. You can do this and this and this and this and this. And God, let me tell you how you can do this and this in my life. And this, listen, he's not a trained circus lion. Either it's all or nothing. Either you jump in on the deep. How many know sometimes it's just good to jump in on the deep end? Just jump on in on the deep end and get all in. If I could give you any advice, listen, it doesn't work that way with God. I surrender. Jeremiah 29:13 says it this way. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Everybody say all.
All.
You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. What's the wind? The wind is when you seek me with all your heart. And then the last one is this, number three. Develop an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Develop a friendship. An intimate friendship with him. Develop an intimate friendship with him. 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. This is a benediction. A benediction is the last words that are said. A benediction is the last part of what somebody has said. The amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, and watch this, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Some of us only want two-thirds of that. We'll take the amazing grace of Jesus. We'll take the extravagant love of God. But we don't want the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. You know, one thing I learned in this, if I could tell you anything, one of the great ways of literally relating to the Holy Spirit is to relate to him like many of you relate to your phones. Most of you, well, if you leave your house without your phone, you turn around and you go back and you get your phone. Some of you, you sleep with your phones. Don't want to miss nothing. I have iPhone 5 with Siri. And one of the things we do with a friend of mine trained his iPhone to, when he asks Siri a question, it says, yes, my master. Come on, somebody. And he asked Siri, he said, Siri, do you love me? And Siri said, I'm an inanimate object. I cannot love you. And he said, but Siri, I love you. And Siri said, I bet you say that to all your Apple products. Somebody. I wish you'd get to know the Holy Spirit as well as you know your iPhone or your Android or whatever you have. I wish instead of when you're ready to talk, you say, yes, Master, what do you want? And what happens, the Holy Spirit wants to do this in your life. He wants to be that intimate friendship walking with you during the day. And you start, I said, no, don't go over there. Paul was about to go one area one time. He says, and the Holy Spirit said, no, Paul, don't go over there. Go over here. And so he said he started walking that way. When the Holy Spirit becomes an intimate friendship, you walk with him during the day. See, I believe the Holy Spirit is literally God in action. That's what the Holy Spirit, it's not some third part of God and somehow, there's only one God. And he's revealed himself in three ways. He's revealed himself as a Father. He's revealed himself as a Son. And now he's revealed himself as the Spirit, the Ruach, the Pneuma, the breath of God that propels us along. It's the breath that when you're getting stuck in the doldrums, he'll breathe on you and he'll begin to push you along and get you out. And you'll be walking. And the last verse is Isaiah. Listen to what it says. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. No. Help that person. No, don't fool with that one. Go over here and do that. What, Lord? Oh, yeah, okay, the Spirit. And the Spirit directs you and guides you. Everybody say amen this morning, would you? Give him a good clap offering one more time. Would you stand up? You know, it all begins with this. Look, watch what Ephesians says. Don't grieve God. Don't break His heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for Himself. And here's my prayer for you. Don't take such a gift for granted. Don't take such a gift. Bow your heads this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for Your amazing grace. And Father, we thank You this morning for Your extravagant love. But we also don't want to grieve You, God. And we don't want to break Your heart. And so we want an intimate friendship with the Holy Spirit. Would You move and live in us afresh and new? Would You guide us as You did that early church? Would the book of Acts not be finished? Would it continue the acts of the Holy Spirit through us? Lord, here are we. And Lord, we lay down every misperception and fear, and we tell You, Lord, do with us as You will. We're Yours, O God. And we repent from making You the size of our brains. And we tell You, Lord, if it's in the Word of God, we will believe it. Whether we understand it all or not, we will trust You. We love You with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord one more good clap offer. Would you do that? God bless you. We'll see you in small groups.